This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Finding another way to keep people in their homes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Obama administration has unveiled yet another proposal that would help homeowners avoid foreclosure. That's coming up. First, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The S&P up by 0.2%. The NASDAQ about 0.3%. And the Dow right now at 10,858, higher by 17 points this hour. Shares were off slightly in Europe today, or are off slightly at the moment. And stocks in Asia were much higher, more than 1% today. The White House again focuses on an anemic housing market and those people having trouble staying in their homes. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live from Las Vegas this morning. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
We've had umpteen modifications of this loan modification program. Is there anything, do you think, in this plan that will work, in other words, that the others didn't work?
Well, this program does two things that I think will help. The first one is, if you're unemployed, it gives you forbearance. You can miss mortgage payments for 3 months, and they'll tack that on the end of the loan. So that gives you an opportunity to go out and try and find a job and some income. The other big thing that this one does that the earlier programs did not do is it encourages banks to actually cut the principal balance on the loan. And that's the biggest issue because so many people are underwater. It'll help address that problem.
Should they just go in, Chris, and buy up these houses and rent them back to people?
You know, in a sense, the government's already doing that. Fannie and Freddie, the big government-affiliated mortgage brokers, are taking homes, they're foreclosing and letting people stay in them, renting them back at market rates. And actually, in neighborhoods where they've announced that they're doing the program, it's driving rents down. So it's cheaper. Makes it possible at least to stay in the home.
Chris Lowe, we thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
All right. Last night, Congress completed work on the new health care law. Among other things, it expands insurance coverage for nursing homes and long-term care services. Marketplace's John Dimsdale tells us about a study out today that shows more and more people who care for America's elderly were born somewhere else.
In some parts of the U.S., 80% of low-skilled care providers, those who help seniors with daily activities like changing clothes and bathing, are immigrants. The primary author of today's report is Lindsay Lowell with the Institute for the Study of International Migration. He says fewer Americans want these jobs.
A lot of the care the elderly used to be taken care of by the family, it still overwhelmingly is, but fewer family members now are available for those jobs, and it's a low-wage sector.
But the aging population will also need more nurses and doctors. Michael Fix oversees research at the Migration Policy Institute. He says U.S. immigration laws will have to change to recognize the education and training that foreign health professionals have earned abroad.
So if we see stepped-up demand for healthcare professionals, our system can respond in a flexible way to that increased demand.
There were an estimated 100,000 unfilled nursing jobs last year in the U.S. The stimulus bill included $500 million to address healthcare worker shortages. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, March 26th, 2010, at marketplace.org. Seems like the Greek debt problem's been in the news for months now. And countries that use the euro have agreed on a bailout program for Greece that involves the International Monetary Fund. Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us from London with the latest. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So tell us a little bit about this package.
Well, we should say, first of all, it's a blueprint and not a bailout. It's a mechanism for helping Greece if it finds it can't borrow any more money from the markets. Under the deal agreed last night, the 15 other Eurozone countries would offer loans to Greece. And crucially, the International Monetary Fund would step in as well and lend emergency funds to the Greeks.
Now, Stephen, help from the IMF, that's usually aimed at poorer developing countries. I mean, isn't that a bit of a humiliation for the Europeans?
Absolutely. This is hugely controversial. The Germans insisted on it, however. They want outside help. They don't want their taxpayers to pick up too much of the tab for this. But the French and others feel that going to the IMF undermines the euro. And Simon Tilford of the Centre for European Reform thinks they've got a point.
It could reinforce the idea that far from being one economy, these are basically sovereign, independent economies. And when it comes to a problem, there is insufficient solidarity within the Eurozone to address those issues internally.
But wait, Stephen, what about the Greeks? I mean, does this rescue package let them off the hook?
It brings them some relief, but the pressure is still very much on them to deal with their budget deficit, because the loans from the rest of the Eurozone countries would have to be agreed unanimously. Germany, therefore, has a veto. If the Germans don't feel the Greeks have done enough to cut their debt, the Germans can say, nein, sorry, nein. We're not helping out.
Yeah, or ochi, as we say in Greek. And sounds like the Germans are still holding a lot of cards on all this, Stephen.
Absolutely. The Germans are in control.
Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reporting from London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Steve.
So forget college basketball, for right now anyway. For some, the biggest sports event of the week will be tomorrow's Ultimate Fighting Championship bout, the UFC. Mixed martial arts fighters will kick, punch, and wrestle their way all the way to glory. The event's going to be literally big, too. For the first time in the United States, an Ultimate Fighting match will air live on big movie screens. Events like these are set to become a part of the theater business, as Marketplace's Rico Galliano reports.
More than 300 cinemas will show tomorrow's Ultimate Fighting event. That's just a fraction of the screens in America. Right now, only about 500 theaters in the whole country are even equipped for digital simulcasts. But that's about to change. Joe Havorka is an analyst with Raymond James.
The three major chains, which are Regal, Cinemark, and AMC Entertainment, recently completed a $660 million round of financing, which is going to allow them to roll out a huge number of digital screens.
Around 14,000 of them. Most will still show digital movies, of course, but Havorka predicts theater owners will reserve more and more screens for live simulcasts. That's because movies tend to bring in audiences on weekends, leaving some theaters empty during the week.
Monday through Thursday has a very low utilization rate. If you could get some kind of programming that works on one of those weeknights, there's a lot of excess capacity in the theater industry during those days.
And companies from the Metropolitan Opera to boxing promoters are eager to fill those theaters with live simulcasts, even though some of those events are already shown on pay-per-view TV, where they cost more to watch. Bruce Binko is chief marketer at the sports promotion company Golden Boy. He says theater screenings appeal to a different audience than pay-per-view and cost about the same per viewer.
In pay-per-view, people tend to buddy up and party up, and there's usually multiple people watching at once. So on a per capita basis, it probably ends up being about the same.
Last September, Golden Boy tested the waters by showing a Floyd Mayweather boxing match in theaters. Binko says Golden Boy just struck a deal to simulcast all its major matches in theaters. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
We've all heard of people moonlighting to make ends meet, but how about an entire police force? The department in Montreal, Quebec, has been generating a little extra money with its own commercial unit. Marketplace's Sean Cole did a little digging.
So the commercial unit has been around for about 12 years. The idea is to take the burden off of taxpayers. Everything on the menu is provided by off-duty officers and cadets. Crisis management training, background checks, security detail for film shoots, which, for me, posed the following question.
Have you ever heard the phrase rent-a-cop?
Rent-a-cop? If I heard that before, yeah, I heard that before. It's very pejorative.
Gino DeBay is commander of the Business Development Unit, which comes up with new ideas for making money. He says the phrase rent-a-cop isn't fair. These are real officers charging for expert work. For example, the band U2 is coming to Montreal for a couple of gigs in June.
They're going to be here for 2 days. We have to provide the public safety. We deliver the regular service.
That is, without charging.
Now, if they ask for escort, if they ask for any more specific duty, now we commercialize the service.
The unit raised about $4 million this way last year, just a tiny fraction of Montreal's overall police budget. Still, the city cut that budget by $20 million last year. How else, Dubé says, do we make up la différence?
Do we charge more taxes to the citizen to keep the number of police officers on the street the same, or we cut some jobs?
But the Quebec Association for the Security Industry doesn't like the police muscling onto its playing field. Daniel Croteau is on the board.
The police need to be neutral. Citizens need to see the police officer as a police officer, not police officer as maybe a security guard sometime.
Plus, it means unwelcome competition, he says. Interestingly, Croteau himself used to dream of being a police officer.
Yeah, at the beginning of my career, yeah, definitely. To serve and protect for the people, not for a company.
Anyhow, the police say they're not trying to start a war with private companies. We're police, one lieutenant told me. We're not business people. I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
San Francisco Chronicle is launching a new expanded daily business section starting this weekend, but it's bringing in a little help. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
The Chronicle will team up with Bloomberg News, which will use its Bay Area staff of 50 to produce stories specifically for the regional audience. Chris Rausch is a professor of business journalism at the University of North Carolina. He says, get ready. This is the future, with newspapers so reliant on ad dollars.
Whereas the wire services like Bloomberg have so many other operations like financial data that can support a far-flung news service.
One that has grown to a worldwide news staff of 2,200 spread around 72 countries. Rausch says to see the change, all you have to do is look at where his business journalism students are going after they graduate.
I have this summer 6 students who will be going to Bloomberg and 4 students who will be going to Reuters.
Only one, he says, is taking a job at a newspaper. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
By the way, a British newspaper is getting a new lease on life. A former KGB spy has purchased The Independent. Alexander Lebedev has other papers in Russia and London, where he was stationed when he worked for the Soviet spy agency. Something tells me when it comes to information gathering, he's a natural. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.